your hearts this morning and listen to the words that God has provided, not only just me, what was on my heart, but also what was on Paul's heart. Because, you know, this last few weeks we've been going through the book of Romans, and Paul has been putting out some pretty challenging things for us to understand, and some applicable things too, surprisingly. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But let's hear the message here from the book of Romans, what Paul has to say in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and verses 29 through 32. Here's what Paul says. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of a tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people for whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience. So they have now been disobedient in order that by means mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. May God bless this reading of the word and help us try to figure out what the heck he is trying to say. You know, Romans is, like I said, a challenging book, and it's always fun to unpack what someone in history wrote in a time and a context that they wrote it in and how it still applies to us today. But, you know, the other night I was home with my husband, Jeff, and we were watching TV. And it was one of those rare occasions where both of us were home at the same time. I didn't have a meeting to attend. Oh, it was fantastic. Just enjoying his company. And, well, of course, on the day I had off, there was absolutely nothing on TV to watch. So I had my husband flipping around the channels, and, you know, we couldn't find anything, a good movie or anything. So I said, you know what, let's just turn on the news. Let's watch Doug Kammermer say something about the weather. I mean, at least he's entertaining. But my husband was like, I'm not watching that stuff. I don't want to turn on the news. There's too much negativity in it right now, and it's going to put me in a bad mood. I'm in a good place. I don't want to be in a bad mood. And isn't that the truth? Every time that we turn on the news, there's always something negative. Well, he was right. You know, there's a lot of negative stuff going on in the world, especially in the last coming weeks, you know, or the past few weeks. There's this new generation of neo-Nazi and white nationalists that are coming out to confront us again about their hatred and bigotry and their violence against people. There are a government who tries to figure that out? All the news that goes on within the cabinets and all the meetings. I mean, I don't even know what they think they're doing anymore. Then there's also those lives that were lost over in Spain with the terrorist attack and the cities that were attacked. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more out there, but these were like the main things that came out. I mean, the only positive thing we had to talk about was the solar eclipse. And even they turned that into a negative response, saying, oh, it's the second coming of Christ. Shield your head with foil. Really? Whatever. Well, if you believe your God is that small, we've got some things to talk about. Anyway, as I was sitting with today's scripture, you know, and keeping all this stuff in mind about the news, I noticed that Paul, you know, poses a blunt question in Romans 11. And it's in the first verse there, and he says, has God rejected his people? And if you watch the news, you'll wonder, has God and is God continuing to reject his people? With all the hate, negativity, the signs, the disputes, the confusion, has God rejected his people?
I like what Paul has to say. He says bluntly, as he asked, he says, heck no. That's in today's version. That's the new version. That's the Pastor Jones version. Heck no. Has God turned against his people? No, not at all. By no means, he says. He has not rejected the people for whom he foreknew. We don't use terms like foreknew anymore, unless you're writing a paper for a teacher or something. But simply, why does he not reject us? Because of the gifts that he has and the calling that he has. Because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They are not reversible. Once he gives it, it doesn't take it away. God knew how the people were going to act in Paul's day. He knew the Israelites would turn against him. He knew that the Jews would turn. He knew the Gentiles would struggle. He knew people would be coming problematic against one another. God knew how they were going to act and showed them mercy anyway, because God is God, and that is how God rolls. Amen? Amen. So why does it feel like God is rejecting the world today? Why do we suffer? Why does he allow all this hate? Why do people choose to do bad things? We know what we're supposed to do. It says in the scriptures, love one another. Why is that so hard? Should we blame it on the solar eclipse? You're going to hear a lot of people try to use that as an excuse. I don't know if that's going to work before the Almighty. Well, let's zoom in to see what Paul said in verse 30, towards the second half of our scripture today. He says, disobedience can be a blessing. Paul is referring to the Jews' rejection of Christ. Now, when the Jews rejected the message of the gospel, Paul turned and shared it to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles accepted this, and God gave the Gentiles a Jewish Messiah, and that Messiah was Jesus. But the one thing that Paul notes is that, look at there, God will have mercy on all his people, Jews and Gentiles alike. That's in 32. You know, he will be merciful to all. All includes everybody, not just your section, not just your race, not just your ethnicity. It's everybody. But that word disobedience stands out there. And disobedience is called by rebellion. It's not trusting God. It's listening to the flesh and surrendering to God whenever you feel like it. It's not desiring his will. And sometimes, you know, what God wants and what we want are two different things. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, he says go this way, and you're like, I'm going that way. We want our way, not his, at times. So that leads us down the road where we begin to put our faith in ourselves rather than our maker. We begin to follow what we think is right rather than what the word says. We start developing habits and placing our faith and our identity in earthly things. And it comes to the point where we realize that some of us are made of hearts. Some of us are made of clay, so hard, so misshaped, because we followed our own path rather than God's path. We become flawed by our past and thinking there's no hope for us, that God's just going to toss us aside. But that is not the case. God shows mercy to people who have been bound in their disobedience, who have been tormented by their flaws, by their mistakes. God shows us mercy regardless of those mistakes, regardless if we did not listen the first time. That is why God is always compared to like a parent. You know, a parent will always love you no matter what. When we see the errors of our ways and finally say yes to God, oh, there's a celebration that goes up on in the kingdom. That's when God's mercy flows. That's when God's grace comes in. And we Methodists are all about the grace. Oh, Lord, I'm going to start singing that song, all about the grace, about the grace. No, devil. Sorry. Wow. Making it about me there. But God offers mercy to those who come to him. That is plain and simple. And Paul says that in our scripture. God shows mercy to us because he loves us. God asks us then, because he loves us, he wants us to love others. Now that's the challenging part. So why not love others and show them mercy too? That makes us uncomfortable. Is there anyone in your life that you can extend mercy to right now? Every day, we are given opportunities to either be bitter to somebody or to be merciful. We can choose to make someone pay for what they did to us, or leave it, let it go, and save it for the grace of God, and show that other person mercy. See, mercy gives you a fresh start. God's mercy is made new every day. Praise God on that. Now, it's easy to be merciful in church. I mean, we're here praising God. The Holy Spirit is present. We are moved to love one another. But what's going to happen when you drive off this church campus and someone cuts you off? Happens all the time out here on 15, right? What's going to happen? You going to show mercy to that driver? Or are you going to show them a particular sign? Getting real here. What will you do? Will you do what's right and show mercy? Or will you choose to stay calm and choose to believe that maybe perhaps that person is having a bad day and they didn't see that I was coming? See, an opportunity for you to forgive is not so much a test, but how you handle God's mercy. Chew on that a little bit. God is going to make you uncomfortable, as I said before. But you know, God will never leave you. God makes you uncomfortable so that God can show you mercy, that God can show you how to grow and that you're growing. Think about it. We have that hindsight look. I mean, thank God I am where I am today and not where I was yesterday. We learn so much on our spiritual walk. When someone hurts you, especially if that person didn't know they were hurting you because they were going through some tough things at the time, sometimes that person just needs an example of Christ-likeness. You are that example of Christ-likeness. Sometimes others need to see the love of God through someone else. God needs you to show his mercy to others. What if we showed an act of kindness, though, to someone we despised? If someone at work, perhaps, told you or told lies about you, if someone lied about you and spread rumors about you, and or maybe they got that promotion that you think you deserved. But let's say that same person, you hear that their car broke down and that they are taking the bus to work and are having struggles at home because of their life changes. Would you offer a helping hand? Or would you remain bitter towards that person because they got what you deserved? When God whispers in your spirit, hey, why don't you pick that person up for work? It's on your way. Could you do it? Could you show mercy? Well, just remember, the mercy that God gives you is the same mercy that he gives to others. When we choose to do what's right, it pleases God. But man, it's hard. The struggle is real, folks. How many of you know how hard it is to show mercy to someone who hurt your feelings, who tormented you in your past, who afflicted you, who maybe abused you, who maybe still abuse you? It's like when you see this person or come around this person, your body will just tense up. Do you have people in your life like that? You see a person, you're like, I'm going to walk the other way. Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do that. Holy Spirit sometimes forces you to be nice to people. But why does he do that? To remind you of the mercy that God showed you. And that you are to rise above and show that mercy and love to others. When you obey God, it gives the devil a run for his money. Amen? Absolutely. I mean, when you're nice to someone who hasn't been nice to you, that person doesn't know how to react. You know, they're gonna come at you, and they might come at you, they wanna fight with you. I do this to my husband sometimes. You know, you ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You just wanna pick a fight. You're in the mood. Something's ticked you, and you just wanna pick a fight. But I can't pick a fight with my husband. He shows me mercy every time. And he'll do things purposely to get me out of my mood and to remind me of God's mercy. I'll be saying things to him like, come on, fight back, fight back. And he'd be like, nope, I love you, honey. And he just gives you that grin, that Jeff Jones grin. Oh, I can't be mad at you. You love me too much. And when a wicked person is mean to you and you're nice to them, they don't know what to do. Why not forgive some of those people and show some mercy and get your peace back? You can have a great day every day this week if you just show some mercy to others. You know, retaliation is not a part of being a new creature in Christ. Mercy is not fair. It's godly. Grace is not fair, but it's powerful. Mercy is not fair, but it makes you Christ-like. And when we act like Christ and do like Christ, and we do what God asks us to do, that leaves room for God to work, and the kingdom comes to heaven on earth. God will take care of you, and he didn't bring you this far to leave you. So don't let your pride get in the way of your mercy. The mercy we get for God is beyond extravagant. So we should show that extravagance to others. It is a gift that invites you and me to experience wholeness in our lives. God's grace and mercy has the power to transform us through and through. Maybe you have spent the last few days or even the last few years face down and helpless, tormented, disrupted, disobedient. Well, God wants to show you his grace and mercy. And all you have to do is reach out and receive it. Amen.